Wednesday afternoon, Shir to the women, Chavis Habodah, Shara Avodah Salokim. We're up to Shir number 7, I believe. Tesvav Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, January 4th. Women Shir, Shara Avodah Salokim.
Okay.
In the Hakdamah to the Shar, the Chavis Habodah talks about that our obligation. The Shar is about our obligation to serve Hashem, why, where's it coming from, why should I, what obligates me. He doesn't like the idea that just we have to and just let's all be quiet or else you're going to get punished. He doesn't like that. So we talked about the psicha, the idea of Hakaras HaTov. It's our way of acknowledging Hashem, because a person has an instinct, call it a DNA, a built-in need to acknowledge, to say thank you, debt of gratitude. And that's what our avodah is. In a very general way, that's what our avodah is. Say thank you to Hashem, having learned Shar HaBechina and having an appreciation of what Hashem has done for us in a universal sense as human beings, in a national sense as Jews. Each individual has his or her own history. That's in general what it's all about. In Perek Aleph, we're in Perek Beis. In Perek Aleph, he said that why do we have to teach anything? Why do we have to do anything? Why do we have to teach anything for? If a person instinctively has gratitude and shows gratitude, let a person develop a relationship with Hashem, realizes everything he gets, why don't we just leave it to be a natural avodas Hashem? Maybe something like a Ramavim. You know, you recognize that there's a Hashem in the world, and then you acknowledge him and say thank you. Avraham Avinu was not obligated to do anything. He developed his own ideas and even developed into the mitzvahs of the Torah, because most of the mitzvahs are that acknowledgement. Virtually all of the mitzvahs are that acknowledgement. So he says really that would be an ideal, but the ideal doesn't happen. It doesn't work. Why? Because there's too much of a gap. It doesn't happen, because when a person develops seichel and maturity to understand and to develop an idea of Hashem and this benefit and that benefit and how he's responsible for so much for the good, and I have to say thank you, that takes too long. So by the time I grow up and by the time I develop seichel or an emotional maturity, so it's already too late. I'm used to everything already, and I don't feel that compelling need to say thank you. Too much time has gone by. You grow up and you get used to it, you know, and you don't realize it. Because it starts from when we're born, really from when we're conceived. But we'll talk about from when we're born up until a person develops maturity. We'll try not to say what age that is. It'll be too depressing. So he says, therefore, we have to be taught. We have to be taught. So what now? But then there's two teachings that there are. It says in Perek Aleph, and this is going to form the basis of the first few prophets. There are two teachings. There's teaching you, there's Hashem in the world, recognize it, say thank you. That's the Derech HaSeichel, he says. To teach you these things that you really should develop naturally yourself, to recognize it, to see it, but we don't because of what he said, so we're going to teach you. We're going to teach you to realize that, hey, look, you know, it rains and there's bread and your body digests food and like look at everything that's going on. And there's another way, and those are the rules of the Torah. Because Allah has, I'll call it a rather uninspired view of the 613 mitzvahs. He says they're the rules. You know, you got to follow the rules. Hashem wants us to follow the rules, and he will explain why Hashem gave those rules. Why can't we just rely on teaching people to be naturally thankful, right? Teaching people to be aware of what they should naturally develop on their own? he explains why, it's necessary and what it is, but those are the two teachings that there are. He calls them Ha'ara Sichlis and Ha'ara Toranis. Ha'ara Toranis means the rules of the Torah, the 613 mitzvahs. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. This is how I want you to thank me. This is what I want you to do. It doesn't have to be natural. We have to do it anyway. Or we're not allowed to do it anyway. And then there's Ha'ara Sichlis, to teach a person to feel a sense of gratitude and to act accordingly. And as he develops in the Shaar, as he develops the thought, the idea is that the second, the Ha'ara Toronis, should bring to Ha'ara Sichlis. We certainly want to reach the apex, the goal of Ha'ara Sichlis, that we feel grateful and we acknowledge Hashem and we thank Him and He told us how to thank Him. And we get to there, we get to that point by following the rules of the Torah, and that takes us to where we want to get. That's Perek Aleph. Perek Beis explains that a little further. Why do you need Ha'ara Toronis for? Why can't we just teach you? Why can't we teach you? Teach you to be grateful, to thank Hashem, to acknowledge Hashem, who Hashem is, what Hashem is. Why do we need rules in the Torah for? Why do we need that for? You'll develop it on your own. Maybe you'll be like Avraham Avinu, and you'll end up developing those very 613 mitzvahs. He says there's three reasons. That's what we're in the middle of learning. There's three reasons that it's not going to happen. It's too much of a struggle. You're fighting an uphill battle, and you're not going to be successful. The first reason is, he says three reasons. We learned the first reason last week, and we're up to the second reason. The first reason is that I compare it. You let the one basketball team come onto the court first, and you let them play ball for 20 minutes, and then you let the other team on. They're going to run up the score, and you're way behind. The seichel is a person who's made up of different urges and forces. Generally, there's a battle between the guf that wants pleasure, that wants actually, he says, it's not even such a bad thing. It wants to perpetuate its growth, perpetuate generations. So we have taivas, and we have an instinct of self-preservation, and we want to partake of this world and have the benefits of this world and have be married and have children, and we want to eat, and because that's really, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but the guf is in charge. And once the guf, not the seichel, the guf has these instincts for self-preservation and for pleasure, for a good reason. Hashem gave it; otherwise, the world would not function. But you realize that the guf is in charge, and the seichel is playing catch-up. So once the guf's in charge, then what are the limits? You just go overboard, and you're not. By the time you develop any seichel, it's already too late to teach a person how to instinctively feel grateful, because the goof ran up the score already. The goof's been around, let's be charitable, and we'll call it 15 years. We'll be charitable. So the goof ran up, the goof's way ahead, and it's a very big struggle to all of a sudden say, you know, this is coming from somewhere, and maybe I can't just live a life of hedonism, and I have to exercise self-control and have to acknowledge Hashem, and maybe He wants this and He wants that, and I can't just do whatever I want, and it's not all about me, it's about Hashem. So therefore, that's one reason why we have to say, no, we have chinuch, we have one when you're 13, a girl from when she's 12, you're not there yet, but you have to follow these rules. And that reigns in the guf. Of course, as he will develop even more so throughout the Shaar, the Torah is about self-control. The mitzvahs of the Torah are self-control. Yes, you can eat, but I'm going to tell you what you could eat and what you can't eat. Yes, you can be married, have relationships. I'm going to tell you what kind of relationships are mutter, what kind of relationships are usher, when they're mutter, when they're usher. Yes, you could work, but then you could be involved in Olam Hazeh, but then there are days when you're not allowed to work, and you have to just devote yourself to Hashem, and devote yourself to thinking about Hashem. So that kicks in, kicks in at the age of chinuch, and it certainly kicks in at the age of bat mitzvah or bas mitzvah, before the score has been run up too much. But if we can't wait to develop the maturity of gratefulness and gratitude and acknowledgement, then it's the score, it'll be too much of a lopsidedness by the time that develops. So we need the harara to run us. Well, you don't have to understand. This is what you do. You have to get up in the morning, and you have to make a bracha. We'll include all the dinim, you have to make a bracha, you have to daven, you're not allowed to steal. We rein you in from the beginning, or from as early as possible. That's reason number one, that you have to have harara to run us. Now we're up to reason number two. Bahashemi. Reason number two is what you call I'll use a sports marshal. It's called the home court advantage. Right? You say, whatever, home court advantage. You have two teams, they're playing a game. It's a bishlamen, baseball race. You get up last. If it's a tie score, you could win. The other team doesn't get a chance to make it up. Right? But in basketball, or football, I don't know, race, why? But there is definitely a home court advantage. It's very choshev. There's something, the fans are cheering and you feel at home and it's your field and it's your home and it's your fans and you just feel, and it energizes you. So Chavis HaLovis doesn't talk about sports, but he says the guf has the home court advantage. Because we're living in Olam HaZeh, and everything in Olam HaZeh is guf. Everything in Olam HaZeh is chumrius. Everything in Olam HaZeh is gashmius. You look outside and you don't see any ruchnius. Everything you do a whole day, the guf feels at home in Olam HaZeh. We actually had this as a very powerful marshal in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. The guf feels at home, and the neshama and the seichel are strangers. So the guf has the home court advantage. The guf's at home in this world. This is a world of guf, a world of chomer. The neshama and the seichel, they're a visiting team. They don't belong here. They belong in Shemayim, with the malachim, and with Hashem. They're in a strange place. They are repelled by this place. They wish they were back home. They can't get into it. Nothing here that gives them any pleasure. It's a struggle. So that's reason number two, that we have to teach the guf to follow the rules. We have to impose self-control on the guf, because we have to rein in the guf. Because the first reason was the guf has been on the field for a half hour before they let the other team on. And reason number two is that the guf has the home court advantage. So that we have to teach the guf rules, self-control. You can't just do what you want. We have to rein in the guf, giving the seichel a fighting chance to get there. V'asheni sha'seichel hu etzem ruchni. It's a spiritual force. Nigzim in olam elin ruchni. It's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. V'hu nachri v'olam ha'gufim olam. He's a stranger, he feels strange, he feels weird. He's without a passport, he doesn't know, he doesn't understand the language. It's like me in Israel, you don't understand the language. You can't understand what people are motivated by, these weird things they're motivated by, things that last a few seconds and they're gonna be nifter, like, don't they realize they're gonna be leaving here in like, let's be charitable, 120 years? They're gonna come to my home turf of Nitzchias. And all of these things that they're doing, like, don't they? It's weird, it's strange. And the taiva and the pleasure-seeking part of the guf of a person is right at home in Olam HaZeh. He feels great, he's at home. The heap of Olam Yisoda Olam Sharasha, that's where it belongs. It's made up of chumrius, and that's what it is. Moshe Melea Ma'acholim Koach, you eat food, it feeds into it. Everything is from what you eat. Everything grows from chomer. The guf is chomer, and the guf grows and is nourished and is satiated and is pleasured by food, which is chomer. Umchaskus also anos agufius. Ba'aseichel is forlorn. The nation of Nachri, he doesn't have any friends, no allies, like Israel in the United Nations. He's like all alone. Nobody understands the neshama. Nobody wants to be bothered by neshama. Everything is goof, 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 goof. You want to cry, right? Everybody's against the neshama. Everything mitigates against spirituality, against seichel. Everything. The world is the physical world. You want to know where your next meal is coming from. Not many people say, where is my next injection of ruchni is coming from. No. This is why you need ha'ara toronis. That's why you need a Torah, you need mitzvahs, you need rules, you need robotic rules that you're going to follow the rules, I don't care how you feel. We're going to inject the goof, we're going to slow down the goof, we're going to pacify the, we're going to inject some tranquilizer into the goof so it should calm down and shouldn't make run away. So really the neshama and the seichel are like way by and weak. When it's Torah Ladover, we need something. We need something to slow down the goof. So he had Torah refuah lecholi kazem mecholi hanefoshes u'magvei hamidos. So the Torah is a refuah. The Torah is chumrius. The Torah deals with the world. It deals with gashmius. It says this is what you could eat. This is what you can't eat. Again, like the whole litany of self control, and that calms the goof down. And it actually injects ruchnius into the guf. It says the guf should work according to ruchniusika principles. So the guf might not understand why. We're talking the Torah with rules. Guf might not understand why, but like al karchach, it's being fed ruchnius. It has to inhibit itself. Falken Titsa, and that's why, and this is again his basic yisod, that he looks at Torah and mitzvahs as exercises in self-control. Titsa Torah Maseres Mehabe Macholim, eating food, Vushim, and Shatnas, you can't wear everything you want, you can't wear whatever you want. Sneas, right? It's all, you can't just do whatever you want, in terms of clothing, in terms of food, Ubi'ilos, the kinyonim, umasim, you can't just acquire whatever you want, that's less limited, you stock on, you know, it calms you down. Shehei mechazkim, all of these things are mechazei koyach hataiva, and so we inject the force of self-control to calm it down, it shouldn't run away with itself. V'cheinu mitzav ebemashu omeid kenegdo. And it even talks about ruchnius because things. It's not just self-control of the gashmius, but it talks about midvarim shein hafecha. It builds up your neshama. It tells you to physically do things which build up your neshama. Vehem ha-tfila, tells you to daven. Davening does not appeal to the guf. Davening appeals to the neshama. V'hatzom, fasting. It's really only in Kippur and the Torah, but we'll include the abundance also. V'hatzdakos, give of yourself, give away your money. It's my money, I earned it. Fair and square, hopefully. Give it away to someone else. Give staka. That's a very spiritual thing to do. That's not a goof thing to do. So he says it reigns in the goof with self-control. That would be more so the lavin. And then the assays inject spirituality into the person. Again, without the person being there. You don't have to be holding there. You don't have to. Right? That's what people who reject Torah and mitzvah say. You know, when I'm holding there, that's what I'll do. I don't want to be a hypocrite. As the one was saying, if you don't want to be a hypocrite, you're lost. You have to start doing spiritual things before it's too late, and you'll never get a chance to catch up. You won't go catch up. You'll be lost. Do it because you have to do it. That's why the Torah gave rules. And it injects, so it exercises self-control over the Kashmirs, and it actually injects spirituality into Olam HaZeh. Tfila, Tzom, Tzedakos, Kabilos Chasodim, Lachios Behem, Simani HaSeichel, to inject, you know, you want to be Mechazim, you know, the poor Seichel, the poor Neshama is crying, it's all alone, and all of a sudden, it has a friend. It has a friend, the Torah is its friend, and the Torah is making the goof live by certain rules, and some of those rules are very evidently spiritual rules. And now, like an ally pops up, L'hoil ha'adam bon bo'am hazeh, which is an interesting, the truth is, Ashrecha bo'am hazeh, your olam hazeh is much more enjoyable if you live according to the Torah. If you don't live with the excesses of someone who has, say, been Torah gold, Torah mitzvahs, the mazeh is more enjoyable, and of course, olam haba. Moshe Amar David, Ner Lo Ragli Dvarecha, Moron L'Si L'Si, Omar Kiner Mitzvah L'Torah, or Nemar Vrini Si Anishi Yesh Li Yitzvah L'Chochma Menasichlos Kisarona Or Menachosh. Okay. So, again, we have Ha'ara. We have the aura. We have to teach you and inspire you. We can't leave you to be on your own. There's two ways we do that. We teach you ha'ara sichlis, we teach you ha'ara toranis. The reason we teach you ha'ara toranis, that's what Perek Beis is saying so far. Why don't we just teach you ha'ara sichlis? So that's what, we can't trust you to get there on your own, but why don't we teach you how to feel grateful, how to believe in Hashem? Why don't we teach you how to be like Avraham Avinu? So he's saying three reasons why it wouldn't work. The first reason was because the guf, it's a battle between the guf and the seichel / neshama, and the guf has a head start, a huge head start. So we have to address the guf. So we have to give ha'ara toranis. We have to give mitzvahs and nisurim, so that we can rein in the guf. The second reason is that the guf has the home court advantage and feels at home and is strengthened thereby. And the neshama is a stranger in a strange land and feels very forlorn and lonely, and therefore we have to be mechazik it, and we give it its friends, the Torah, so that again the injection of spirituality, the control of the guf and the actual injection of spirituality into the guf. Yeah.
Why is Shabbos supposed to be a spiritual day?
I'm sorry?
Shabbos, that is the most spiritual day of the week. Why is there so much Gashmi?
So much.
Gashmi.
Because, well, it's a good, very excellent question. The answer is that you want to reach the ideal on Shabbos, which is to enjoy that the guf is brought into the spiritual world. The gashmius of Shabbos is to enjoy Shabbos, not to enjoy the chocolate cake. You're eating chocolate cake because that way you will enjoy Shabbos. That's in this world, that's how we enjoy Shabbos. That's our main olam haba. And you're supposed to do it l'shma. You're supposed to be ma'anigas ha'Shabbos, the Gemara says. Kol ma'anigas ha'Shabbos, nosim lo nachal abelim etzorim. It doesn't say kol ma'anigas ha'guf on Shabbos. It says kol ma'anigas ha'Shabbos. We do things, we are in this world, and we make Shabbos therefore an enjoyable day. That makes us, gets us used to the idea. Shabbos is an enjoyable day. It's not a day of restrictions. You talk to someone that doesn't want to be religious, so to them Shabbos is just a day of restrictions. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. You can't even turn on my iPhone. Like, come on, like, what am I supposed to do a whole day? So we show that Shabbos is a, you sit on the table, you sing zmiras, you eat the food you eat, we make it into an enjoyable experience. Hopefully you can relate to the spirituality of that. That this is a day for Hashem, we don't do any work, and we're just enjoying the day, oz tis aneg al Hashem. That's what you're supposed to reach, that level.
It sounds like what you were saying with scoring for the other team. You score another team, because
yeah,
you get your good, and you're happy, but that's what your neshama wants, yeah. So it's a united happiness.
Okay, the third reason. Why do we need ha'ara toranis for? Why don't we just teach ha'ara sichlis? The third reason is something anybody, I don't want to ask who goes to exercise classes, everybody does exercise probably, except for me, probably. So, everybody knows, and Chayez Alava says it, so you can quote the Chayez Alava. The more you exercise a muscle, the stronger it gets. Right? So he says, the guf is always exercising. It's eating, it's sleeping, it's having pleasure. Everything you do in this world is exercising the guf.
So the guf is growing stronger and stronger and stronger. The neshama, the seichel, yeah, once in a while you daven, and once in a while you do a good deed, and it's like way behind exercise class, right? The guf is up, the guf exercises 23 and a half hours a day, 7 days a week, and the neshama exercises a couple of times a day, maybe a little more on Shabbos, but it's way behind. So therefore we have to inject ruchnius into daily life. We have to inject Torah mitzvahs, the rules which are ruchni, and the rules which reign in the guf, because the guf is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, because it's being exercised constantly. Taivas and pleasure seeking, ego fulfillment, gratification, that's what the guf lives off of. And it's always, doesn't take a rest. Night and day, it's always functioning. We are hungry, we sleep, we seek pleasure. You know, and once in a while, something of ruchnius comes up, something of seichel comes up. It's well known. When you use something a lot, when you exercise a muscle a lot, it gets stronger, becomes better, stronger, more powerful. And you do better. You run faster. You're able to pick up heavier loads. You're able to function better. And the less something is used. Now you would think maybe it's a little counterintuitive. I don't know, in the days of the Chodesh Halbavus, maybe this was like a little. If you don't use something, so you think it would be stronger because you're resting it, you're saving it up. You don't know. Right? If you do the opposite, the less you use a muscle, so it gets weak and flabby. But I didn't know saying Shetachazek HaTaiva, and therefore, again, you're not going to catch up. You're not going to catch up to the guf if you just teach and let the person develop arasichlis, because the guf is constantly exercising, and the neshama doesn't get a chance to set up shop. How often are we using our seichel without Torah? See, with Torah now, again, everything I do, I have to think about, I have to weigh, I have to judge. Does Hashem want me to do this or not? So I'm rejecting the world of ruchnius. The two dynamics. I'm A, injecting self-control into the gashmius, and B, I'm actually injecting ruchnius into the gashmius. So the taiva is stronger because we use it already, and the seichel is weak. So therefore, we have to, even though the pure ideal seichel is not using the guf, but we have the Haaret Haranis, which uses the guf to inject these things into our lives. And therefore, again, it exercises, it brings the spiritual and the seichel into this world, so that I'm constantly looking to eat, but now I'm constantly using my seichel to say, am I allowed to eat this or not? I check if it has a hechsher or not. I'm always, I go to sleep, and I can brach before I go to sleep. And anything we do now has some exercise of the seichel in it also. Yeah.
It seems to me like these three things are all basically about leveling the playing field.
Yes.
Between the two. Isn't there another, maybe not Kavos HaLevavos, but another theory or approach that the point is to elevate the physical? It's not just to rein in the physical, but the point
is. Well, that's what he talks about, what he's saying.
Also,
you're injecting.
You're reining it in by injecting it with ruchnius. Mm-hmm. That's how you're reining it in. That reins it in, because you're injecting ruchnius into it, so you're always exercising your seichel. The seichel's on the field also, and the seichel also feels at home, starts to feel at home, because it deals with the gashmiistic world. We're talking about why the need for Eretz Yisrael. Why do we have to use this world to serve Hashem? Now, others, again, not the Chavos HaLavos, others say that that's perfectly, you know, that's what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted that this world should be the vehicle of Ruchnius, not as an antidote to anything, but that's what he wanted, and maybe that's what you're referring to. Now, the Chavos HaLavos does not. As much as he says that we're injecting ruchnius into gashmius, but it's a preventative measure. Right. Because he wants us to develop ha'aros sichlis. Chavos HaLavos, for better or for worse, looks at mitzvos and isurim as a way to climb, as a stepping stone, to develop ha'aros sichlis. He explains why it has to exist. Later on he'll explain 7 or 8 specific reasons why, if you try to make an end run, which other religions have tried to do, and even certain people in the Jewish religion have tried to do, if you try to run an end run and say, well, then I don't really have to do the mitzvahs, because the ikar is to acknowledge Hashem and to thank Hashem, and you try to say, so I don't really have to do this and I don't really have to do that, that is, it always fails. And inevitably, it always fails. And he explains why, and certainly historically it's true. Those who have tried that have fallen away from the Jewish people, and within a generation or two are lost, unfortunately. So we see that it's so, and he explains why. But he doesn't talk about, it's true that the Chavos HaLavos does not talk about the mitzvos in an elevated form, as something in itself spiritual. In other words, if I say, if a certain shefa of kedusha, which is the Tanya would say, but if a certain shefa of kedusha, it is a long chain leading down from the world of spirituality into this world, and there's a certain shefa of spirituality, which at the end of a long chain with thousands of links, millions of links, whatever it is, when it comes out to this world, it becomes eating matzah on Pesach, or it becomes not wearing Shabbos. But if you trace it back, lamala, it's something that's completely ruchni. But the Lord does not talk like that. He talks that the mitzvahs are to teach self-control. You say, you're right, at that point is correct, to rein in the Gashmi and to allow yourself to develop the ideal, which is Ha'aras Sichlis. Someone with them, a very dangerous class to have, to teach Shara Avodas Elokim, because then someone says to himself, well, then why can't I take a shortcut? Or why can't I cut out the middleman? I'll skip over the stepping stone. If you're telling me it's a stepping stone to rein in the Gashmi, till I'm old enough and mature enough and emotionally healthy enough to develop Ha'aras Sichlis, so then I can jettison all these other things. So the Chavos HaLavos will say soon that they are essential, and Hashem, it doesn't work. You fail. It always, always, always has failed. It always will fail, and he explains why. But, truth be told, it's not an inspiring view of the mitzvos. It's not an inspiring view that they are the physical manifestation of Ruchnius. He doesn't talk like that. Mm-hmm. That is true. You know too much time. That's your problem. Okay. So v'yitchem al odom asichlus agaveres al nafsho. So you rein in the gashmius amonas also meiros adorim al amitusim, because they are stopping a person from developing our asichlus u'mehanichem al mechoneim, and understanding the world the way it's supposed to be understood. It's wholesome. It's truthful. It's neman. do the Hashem Yishar, Mesach Chilei, Lona, straightforward. Mitzvah Hashem Borim, and I say Noam, it gives you clarity. And therefore, the Hizchaiba, Min Asher Zachana, so based on everything we have learned thus far, we have learned that Oros Ha'odim Mederech HaTorah, persons or inspiration or awakening to follow the Derech HaTorah, HaKolelas HaMitzvos HaSikliyas VaHashimiyas, that has in it both mitzvahs that appeal to the Seichel and mitzvahs that we don't appeal to the Seichel, but we have to do them anyway. Lalos Ben Al Avoda, Asher Odom Chayiba Miderech HaRiyah HaSikliyas, Asher Hita. What we're going for, what we're aiming for, the goal is to reach the avoda asher adam chayibah miderech ariyah sechus asher itachas o'inyon ha-mechuvan bo b'riyas ha-min anush b'olam hazeh. The purpose of the world is to acknowledge Hashem, to be aware of Hashem, to be thankful to Hashem, to express acknowledgement that Hashem is responsible for my very existence, He's responsible for everything I have in my life. It's Hashem. Hashem is there. Hashem is talking to me. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem Echad, everything is Hashem. And to acknowledge that, you know, Shema Yisrael, to acknowledge Hashem's Malchus, Hashem's Achdus, that everything is from Hashem, and Memela is Ratzom Hashem, and Memela is, in a sense, Hashem, that's the goal of life. So we're starting, we're going to elaborate even more as we go on to Perek Gimel. You get this, like, let's say my seichel, you know, you have to acknowledge that Hashem, you know, you have to take a set time to acknowledge that Hashem is a melech, you know, like once a year, like Rosh Hashanah, you know. Say Rosh Hashanah, you know, the Torah says you can't do malacha, you have to blow a shofar, and the rules are you spend it in the shul, Hashem is judging us. But that's not the goal. The goal is to reinforce, to recharge your spiritual battery, as it were, and to reinforce the idea that Hashem is the Melech, and Hashem is judging us, because we have Bechira, and He gave us the Torah, and Hashem will deal with us according to our actions. And all of that, I'm supposed to understand that. I'm supposed to relate to it on the intellectual and emotional level. I'm not supposed to just, you know, listen to the shofar and go to shul. That's what my calendar says to do. That's the danger of Ha'orah Taranis. That it becomes a shell. It becomes just ritual. That's the problem of Ha'orah Taranis, that it becomes ritual. The problem of Ha'orah Sichlis is that, right now he's saying that a person, the seichel is a very weak component of the person. We have to buttress, we have to strengthen the other forces in a person. But the goal is, again, acknowledgement, the goal is recognition, the goal is gratitude, expressing the gratitude through acknowledgement. So in Perek Aleph, he explained why do we have to tell a person anything? Why can't we just let a person develop naturally? In Perek Beis, and then he said we have to teach a person, awaken a person in a sichli way and in a Torani way. We have to teach him about what the seichel demands, and we have to teach him the rules of the Torah. And in Perek Beis, he explains why we have to bother with teaching him Torah, why don't we just teach seichel? And he explains because the guf is too powerful and it just wouldn't give, it wouldn't click, it wouldn't work. The guf is too powerful. He gives three reasons why the guf is so powerful, and therefore we have the rules of the Torah that inject the guf with ruchnius, slows it down, and also, by the by, calms it down inside self-control. So, you know, you're always reining in the guf. Paragimel is Agedar Avoda Ubir Chelkeho. To explain everything we talked about, to explain Avodas Hashem and different forms of Avodas Hashem, Ora Sichlis, Ora Toronis. What does it do for me? Ubir Chelkeo, Milos Kol Chelek, Mechelkeo, to explain it clearly, to take apart, to analyze all the components. who, and now he gives a general definition of Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem, what is it? What do you mean serve Hashem? What do we serve him? We serve him breakfast, we serve him lunch. What are we serving him? So most people would answer that we're obeying him. That's how we serve him, by obeying him. He always, not a friend of that. He doesn't like that at all. It's not true. Serving Hashem is Shegeder Avoda, is Kenias, submission, humility. Mishenetivlo lemeitiv betova, someone that's to acknowledge my this debt of gratitude, he calls Kenia. The acknowledgement that it's not me, see that, in a deeper sense, we're struggling with the ego, and kochi va'otsam yadi, and it's me, and then it's Hashem. Avodah Zarah is not even spiritual in the Jewish sense. I should hope not. No. Avodah Zarah is centered on my needs, my desires, my wishes. I need rain, I need food, I need family, I need children. And everybody thinks to themselves, yeah, that's what I daven for, no? And the answer is no. See, davening is most of all, overridingly so, an acknowledgement that all these things are from Hashem. And it's from Hashem, that it comes from Him, and He's the master of all, and He's responsible for all of it. And that's my avoda, that's why tefillah is called avoda, because that acknowledgement, this is really what the Chazal is saying, that acknowledgement is avoda. Here he calls it kniya. Kniya means, so again, Avodah Zarah is centered on the person, on the ego, on fulfilling the desires of a person. Hashem is, I'm afraid most people, I would say, their idea of Hashem versus Avodah Zarah is that you bet on the right horse. You know, there's a lot of horses in the race. So if you bet on the other horses, so you lose. Because Hashem is the fastest horse in the race, the smartest horse in the race, most powerful horse in the race, so you bet on the wrong horse. You bet on Hashem, you win. It's a whole different concept. The old Avodah Zarah looked at Avodah Zarah looked at those forces in the universe as ways to get what they want. That was the goal. That's Avodah Zarah. That's the goal. So I have to do it. This God wants me to bring a sacrifice to Him. This God wants this, and this God wants that, and then He's going to be very happy with me, and He's going to give me what I want. Which, that sounds awful familiar. Yeah, but that's what you have to understand. That's what we're learning now. Avodas Hashem. Hashem gives us a lot of candy. Just like you give a child candy. You want the child to go to sleep one time, you give them candy. So Hashem gives us a lot of candy because He loves us and He cares about us and He wants us to bond with Him. And He understands that if He says, I'm going to give you guys a chance to bond with me, you're going to maybe end up pretty lonely. So He says, I'm going to give you rain, I'm going to give you food, I'm going to give you good things. But the avoda is not a way for me to get what I want from Hashem. Hashem is not a candy machine that if you put in the right coin and you pull the lever, you're going to get what you want. That's why it's different than Avodah Zarah. Sounds funny. It's not just you're betting on a different horse. It's a different mindset. We're in this world to serve Hashem. That's the purpose. The goal is to serve Hashem. Chavavavos now is sharply defining serving Hashem. My acknowledgement that it's not about me, that I'm not responsible for my talents, I'm not responsible for anything in my life. That's the service of Hashem, is the acknowledgement that Hashem is everything. And Hashem is providing me with everything. But the avoda is the acknowledgement. Or what he calls here the kniya, the submission, the humility, that I am nothing, as he says in Shar HaKniya, where he talks about that more directly. says, I'm nothing. I don't have everything I have. All my talents is all gifts from Hashem. And I acknowledge Hashem as the source of everything I have. That acknowledgement, which is easy to say and difficult to feel, because we all have egos and we have a sense of self and we have a sense of pride and we are aware of our own existence and we want to justify our existence and we feel we provide, and you know, thank you Hashem, you know, Shkoyach, you know, we say Baruch Hashem, Mitz Hashem, you know, we know how to talk the talk, but the Nakuda, this beer is thinking about, which you're going to do now for 2 weeks, because I won't be here next Wednesday, because for a good reason, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to a wedding, and I'm staying the whole week, this be by the Shabbat Shabbat Brachos of my niece, daughter of my late brother, and so I won't be here next week, so you have 2 weeks to think about this. So Avodas Hashem, this is what he starts with Perek Gimel saying, Avodas Hashem is primarily acknowledgement of Hashem, that he is he's not just responsible for everything. Like it's really even deeper than that. He like is everything. Everything is Hashem. But the purpose of life, the purpose and the goal, is that we acknowledge Hashem, and He makes it easy for us to acknowledge Him because He gives us all those good things. And Avodah Zarah, the purpose of life is to get things. And if I have to bribe the gods so that they should look with favor upon me and give me what I want, so I'll do it, you know. They're holding me hostage. What am I supposed to do? It's a whole different mindset with Hashem. Hashem starts off with, I am here. Hashem created the world in order that people who live, who occupy a space where Hashem is invisible, who occupy a space where Hashem is not obvious. He is obvious if you think it through. But he's not obvious. I don't see him. He's invisible. I don't see him. No, I don't see him giving me money. I see I work, and my boss gives me a check. That's what I see. I don't know. You're trying to talk me into it that there's some invisible force that's giving me the money. Come on, it's hard. It's hard. That acknowledgement, which is so hard, is the avoda of a person in this world. Okay, we'll stop here.